You are listening to the Magic of Kanab podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome to another episode of the Magic of Kanab. I'm your host, Hal. Today, I'm with Steve Nieleman. In this episode, we're going to discuss Zion National Park. What we won't be discussing are touching on every run-of-the-mill hikes and activities that people are more accustomed to. Today, we're going to focus on and be talking more specifically about East Zion, the best way to experience Zion National Park. Steve, how are you?
Good, Hal.
Welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming on. So, hey, Steve, do you mind introducing yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you're coming from, if you don't mind.
Sure. So I live in Utah, born and raised here. I did leave the state for about 7 years when I did some surgical training. So I'm a trained trauma and general surgeon, but my heart's always brought back to the east side of Zion National Park because in 1962, so 60 years ago, my grandfather and grandmother bought a ranch that borders Zion National Park for about 5 miles. And so every time I was, you know, a kid and my parents wanted to get a break, they'd send me down and I'd spend a chunk of my summers with my grandparents. And I always tell my wife that we have a deal that whoever passes first, the other one gets to choose where they're going to be buried. And I'm going to figure out a way to be buried on the east side of Zion National Park. So we'll see if I live longer. That's the plan.
I love it. Was it a working ranch when you were there, Steve? Were you doing chores and ranching, or what was it like?
Yeah, we had a small cattle population that my grandfather would run, and he had some horses and things like that. It's a high plateau up there, and so there's not a lot of natural grasses. There's millions of trees, and because of that, it was tough to make money in the cattle ranch business. So my grandfather set up a little hunting club. And for many, many years, people would buy a little piece of property on our ranch, and then they could go up and hunt the over 5,000 acres we had, and then there was some BLM property. So it was it was kind of a hunting ranch with a small population of cattle.
Gotcha. So did a part of that ranch stay in the family? Did your, for example, your father or your mother have it, and then to you, or did you step back in years later?
Well, actually, my grandparents had 9 children. And they ended up with the ranch when my grandparents passed. And there was that whole question of what's going to happen. There wasn't a lot of money to pay the taxes and stuff. And so my brother and I, so this would be, you know, 2 of their grandkids, we stepped up and we actually bought the ranch from the family about 15 years ago. So, so my brother and I own it. And so this is the third generation that has been in the family.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Well, let's jump right into our topic today, Steve. So today's episode, of course, on the east side of Zion. As we know, most of the park's congestion is experienced in the main canyon and on the west end of the park. East Zion offers incredible hikes, far less visited, that doesn't require shuttle access. So elaborate on that if you could. Tell us a little bit more about the east side.
Yeah, so, you know, we've always been on the east side. And, of course, we'd slip down to Springdale to get an ice cream cone or something like that. But we were kind of up in the area where we knew it was about 10 degrees cooler, or sometimes 20 degrees cooler. We're at 6,500 feet and just absolutely loved it up there. And we had this fantastic access to all of these hikes that would go right into the park, you know, and we kind of first would do kind of some of the over rim hikes. And then pretty soon we started doing some of these canyon hikes, like, for example, Orderville Canyon, that would go down into the park, and just fell in love with it. And so we never knew what was going on the west side until people started telling us, did you know there's a couple hour wait sometimes to get into the west side of the park? And we had no idea what was going on because, as some people know, you know, about a third of the people that enter Zion come in from the east side. Some people believe that maybe as much as half exit the east side, but when you're going into the park, it's just a lot less people that enter in on the east side. And so we'd never experienced it. So
that's interesting. Wow. So you're kind of oblivious to the congestion on the west side because you're just right at home and enjoying the east side.
Yeah. You know, and we'd make it a habit to never go through the west side during the busy part of the day. Maybe we'd go down and, like I said, get something to eat and come back in. But by the time we were going back into the park, it was after hours and we could get in pretty easily. So it just never occurred to us that people were waiting 2 hours to get into the park.
You were lucky. Yep. Well, I've heard some really cool hikes here. And you mentioned you've hiked that area a lot. So Checkerboard Mesa, Observation Point, from Zion Ponderosa, East Rim Canyon, the Overlook, many other hikes on that east side. So, Steve, I'm going to ask you, let's say we have a young family, maybe with children, maybe they're not super experienced hikers. What's a hike you might recommend that you think would be really kind of eye-opening for the area and available to families?
You know, if they're a little bit older kids and they can walk 4 or 5 miles, they should go to Cable Mountain. It's unbelievable. You walk out from the edge of our property and it's a pretty flat trail, and you get out to the edge where there's a 2,000-foot drop-off. And there's this old bulwarks that is made out of railroad ties, and this is where the early pioneers would lower these giant pine trees that are up on the plateau where our ranch is, down to the good people of Springdale and Rockville and Virgin, and that's how they built their homes. And so I love Cable Mountain. I love it. And look, and I'll be candid with you, even the more hikes like Orderville Canyon where you're going through, we have a rule in our family, a kid turns 8 years old, they're going through that hike. And that's their baptism by Zion. And, you know, they're swimming through pools. And so, you know, that's the wonderful thing is there's a great variety of hikes, but those would be two that would jump out, Cable Mountain and Orderville Canyon.
I love it. Love it. Appreciate that. It sounds like there's quite a network. It sounds like there's an extensive network of trails and options. It's not limited on the east side, right?
No. In fact, I would say there's more trails that certainly if you look at the variety of trails, and it's not just the ones that go into the park, but you've got BLM trails that are all over that east side that are just fantastic. And you can do rappelling, you can do just more basic canyoneering. And as you're entering in, even through that east gate, there's so many just wonderful trails to take off right there in the park.
So you could keep yourself busy for some time and be entertained and impressed.
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay, we hear a lot about the wildlife in Zion, bighorn sheep, bison, at least on the Zion Mountain Ranch side. So is that something that visitors could expect to see some of this wildlife?
Oh, yeah. And because we're up higher, you get a lot of it. The elk are starting to come in a little bit, lots of mule deer, and then just an amazing turkey population. There are plenty of mountain lion running around that sometimes we'll catch a quick glimpse of, and the birds are fantastic up there because, again, the elevation up on the east side is between about, 6,000, 6,500 feet. So it's a little bit cooler. You just get kind of a different cut of the fauna. And the flora is amazing too, the trees. I mean, big, huge ponderosa pines. You just don't have those down in the base of the park.
Right. That's interesting. Now, I've heard a lot of stories, and I know people in designated hunting areas there just really enjoy the wildlife, the hunting options that are there on the east side. What are the lodging options like? I'm curious, Steve. I mean, are there various options that people of different desires, income levels, family situations can enjoy?
There's right on the east border, there's basically two establishments. My neighbor runs Zion Mountain Ranch, and he has some fantastic cabins and homes and things like that. We have a little bit of a broader offering at Zion Ponderosa Ranch Resort. We're up the road just a little bit, and we have not only homes and cabins, but we also have some glamping and some campsites and things like that. And so, I'm not telling you that there's a giant amount of offerings. It's part of the allure of the east side is that there's more open space. There's less people kind of sitting on top of each other, but there's certainly enough to take care of families. And there's even some RV sites and stuff like that if people want to bring their own rig.
Awesome. I've actually heard rumors of Conestoga wagon lodging options. Is that right?
That is true. There's also some wagons, and I failed to mention those. And so if you want to sleep in a covered wagon, you can sleep in a covered wagon. So
that's great. Was that your brainchild, Steve? I'm curious.
It's actually my nephews, a couple of guys that grew up in Orderville, Utah, Owen and Jake, and somehow they came up with this idea. And so they brought in the wagons and put them on the ranch. And it's amazing how many people like to sleep in those wagons.
I can imagine it'd be a little popular. So, well, that's awesome. Steve, what am I missing? What am I not asking you that you'd like to tell us about the east side?
Well, the reality is that there is this risk of Zion being overran. In fact, I mentioned the challenges on the west side. There's still 5 million people that are coming to the park every year, and I think it's now the second most visited park in the United States. And so one of the things we're doing on the east side to really help out is we're putting, in a very thoughtful manner, a new visitor center, some parking so that people can park. And if, as that gets developed, we think there's some good opportunities to maybe do some private shuttles or something like that that run into the park. We're trying to work through how to best do that to take care of guests. I think most people would prefer not to have to drive their car through if they're just looking to jump off and do a hike or something like that. So we're looking at options to do that. And, you know, the reality is that if you're looking for this kind of a little bit quieter experience of Zion, you know, where you can still see just an amazing, for example, stargazing tours and things like that, it's just quieter, it's cooler in the summer, and it tends to be a place where people go to kind of slow down a little bit versus going too fast. And we are doing our best, the neighbors and the landowners there, to really keep it that way. We've done some nice conservation easements where we've decided, and it's been our choice, to take parcels of land and put them aside so they'll never be developed. We do not want the east side to be overran like other areas around national parks.
Well, that's great. You know, I have an opportunity to take people out and show them the countryside here, more in the Kanab, King County area, more on the east side. And I talk to people all the time who've been through Zion. They're enthralled by it. They're impressed by it. They're amazed, astounded at the cliffs, the canyons. But that is the singular complaint. The most predominant complaint I receive is it was so crowded and so many people. So to think that you'd have those kind of views and vistas and experiences minus the large crowds at this point in time, I think that would appeal to an awful lot of people.
Yeah, it's our goal is to actually disperse people out of Zion, because as you know, Hal, since you get your groups around, some of these BLM spots are just every bit as good as the national park. And they're still public land. You can get out on them. And if you do them in a thoughtful manner, you can get out and see some stuff. So we have a plan with the new visitor center and things like that that's coming on the east side to disperse people, meaning draw them out of the park, and to really reduce things, which we think will not just help the east side, but it'll help the west side too, because then there'll be less congestion there. So it's a plan we're working on.
Right. And I understand the park's in full support of this.
Look, I mean, Kevin McClaws is my partner. He's not my business partner. He's just my neighbor. And Kevin's done a good job of just going in and you know, initially we thought we were competitors. But then when we realized that we were both trying to salvage the east side, he's gone in and just met with park officials and said, hey, why don't you be involved in this planning process? Because if we're going to put a visitor center right outside of the national park, you need to be there to staff it and things like that. And so Kevin's done a great job on it. Sometimes people don't understand Kevin. They don't understand what he's trying to do up there. But if they ever want to know, they should go up and talk to him, because he's got a great vision of how to make the east side, you know, properly done and not have it be overdeveloped.
Well, that's great. That's great. I appreciate it. Appreciate you coming in today, Steve. And it's been a pleasure visiting with you and picking your brain a little bit. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Al. Good luck with the podcast and taking care of people on the east side of Zion National Park.
Of course. All right, Steve. Been my pleasure. Okay, this next segment, we actually sent our producers into the east side of Zion. They met with people from, I was going to say, all over the country, really all over the world, multinational from several countries. And we're able to just ask them a few questions about their experience in East Zion. We cut these sound bites together for you to listen to and kind of understand the visitor experience here in East Zion. I think you'll be pretty impressed with what they had to say. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, my name is Chelsea, and I am from Colorado. And today I am at the Canyon Overlook Trail in Zion, and I absolutely love it. It is beautiful. My friend Carly is actually with me, and she showed me this trail. I went to a couple different other trails in Zion, but this one has to be my absolute favorite. The view is beautiful, and it's just so breathtaking when you get to the top. There's an overlook of all of Zion, and it's absolutely beautiful. I think the reason why this is also my favorite is because it's more, I guess, reserved. There's a lot of people down at the bottom and up here. I mean, of course, there's lots of hikers, but it's definitely not as crowded, so I feel like you're able to get a better experience for sure.
Hi, my name is Carly. I'm from St. George, Utah. I've lived here pretty much my whole entire life. I've had family in Kanab and around Springdale area, so I'm in Zion every single summer. We're at the Canyon Overlook Trail right now, and I've been on this one since I think I was about 8 years old. And I love this one because it is a little bit more intimate and reserved. There's a lot of people that don't really know about it, and I think it has nice shady spots, but it's also like a good calf burner, so I really love it. I recommend going on it with family. It's good for little kids and just anyone of any age.
Hi, I'm Xavier.
Hi, I'm Wendy. We came to Zion's today to experience just the kind of the, what is it?
Just the beautiful views, and we're not like avid hikers, so we just like to, we like pick the easy hikes to go on, and we just enjoy taking our time and pulling over. I know Wendy is an artist, so she likes to sit down and draw the rocks and the flowers and things like that.
And it's a really beautiful place. I feel like it's really fun to see just kind of some of the little wildlife that's around here. Don't feed them, but it's very fun to just see them scurrying in nature.
And yeah, didn't you say this was one of the hikes you did as a child?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've lived around Zion's, and so I've done a lot of the hikes here. They're very, very friendly for kids. They're very friendly for adults. I definitely recommend people to come and just see the beautiful nature that is out here.
Hi, I'm Mary, and I'm here with my husband, Dave. We're both from Minnesota, and we're enjoying the beautiful Zion National Park today. The first thing we're doing this morning is the Zion Canyon Overlook Trail, and it's a beautiful trail, a little bit challenging for me, but not too bad overall. Experience here has been lovely. Yesterday we rented the e-bikes and drove the scenic trail and did a couple of beautiful hikes there. We did the Emerald Pools, and that was really great. If you want to take your time, do things at your leisure, but see the most you can see and not get overtired, then the bikes are definitely the way to go. Today we're going to do the Narrows. We're excited about that, and we'll expect to get real wet and hopefully cooled off. Come early in the morning because it gets really hot around here this time of year.
Yep.
Hi, my name is Massimo. I come from Genova in Italy. I am here in Zion Park with my family, with Serena and Alessandro. We arrived 2 days ago, and we stay in a ranch here at East Zion. And we enjoy a lot all the landscape and all the hike here. It's also very nice for the child because there are some very impenetrable hike, but there are also a lot of little hike like this, when you where you can they, also the children can enjoy and view all the wonderful landscape here in Zion. Unfortunately, tomorrow we have to leave and we have to come back in Italy, but we are very, very happy to be here, and I hope my son, when he'll be little, when he grow up, can come here with his family too to visit this wonderful place, like I do. I've been here almost 30 years ago with my family. Was not so was like this, but there was less people, and also the part here is a little bit more quiet than the Zion highway. It is a little bit more crowded.
Okay, our name is Stefan and
Steffi,
and we are coming from Germany, from the southern part, from Bavaria. The city is called Nuremberg, it's famous for the Christmas market. We made actually a round trip for 3 weeks. We started in San Francisco, go to the Yosemite Park, then to the Great Bazaar Park. Yesterday we arrived from the Bryce Canyon, and today is our first day in the Zion National Park. Yeah, and we are coming here for having these great views, for hiking.
Yeah, and my husband knows already the park from the past. He already has been here something like 30 years ago without me. And he knows the best places in the west of US. So he has told me we have to go also to Zion because you can hike there very well. But we didn't expect it so hot. So it's very, very hot, but very, very beautiful. The mountains are so different from mountains in Europe. And yeah, it's fantastic.
So hi, my name is Alan. I'm originally from Kansas. I'm semi-local now, so I just live down in Rockville. It's like one of the gateway cities to Zion. This is kind of like my, I don't feel like exercising today, I'm slightly hungover hike. It's beautiful, it's short, there's a lot of shade, and I mean, you meet a lot of cool people at the top, so it's always fun to hang out up here. Sometimes I think in the peak season, the main canyon is just like chaos and you've got to shuttle in and there's all these people. So if I don't really feel like seeing mass amounts of people, I usually come over here. I feel like locals usually do this trail too. So you run into a lot more people at the top that you know. Bring more water than you think. Always, always more water.
Hi, my name is Spencer Sheffield. I'm from Layton, Utah, currently living in Provo. And I'm just on a business trip here. We're at the Checkerboard Mesa overlook or viewpoint, and it looks pretty cool. What I like about this part of Zions is I've never been here before, at least this part. And so I get to see some new sights, which are just as cool as the rest of the park.
Hi, my name is Adam Castor. I'm originally from Long Island, New York, and this is my first time going to Zion, and we're here at Checkerboard Mesa, and it's really nice. The viewpoint is gorgeous, looking at all the red rock. It's actually amazing that we're still in the United States. Like, New York and Utah are so different geographically when you go to all the other national parks, where, you know, if you go upstate, you have a couple mountains and nature and things like that, but nothing like in Utah, for sure.
Okay, I'm Anna, I'm from Spain, and we have chosen to enter Zion because we've been here like 6 years ago, and we want to do it again. Six years ago we went to Angel's Landing, and this year we want to do the observatory. So we are entering this zone of the park because we are going to go to Springdale. That's the place where we're going to sleep. And I don't know what we're going to find around. we are here in Checkerboard Mesa because it's gorgeous. It's amazing. It's like different formations from the land. They are huge, and that's wonderful.
I'm Jenny. I'm from St. Louis, but originally Illinois.
And I'm Barb. I'm from Rockford, Illinois.
And I'm Margie. I am from Appleton, Wisconsin.
And we are two daughters and one mother. And basically, we came out here. We're going to go to the Narrows. It's a hike down a canyon, right?
Yep.
You know
There's
more about
some water.
It. Margie's laughing too much. That's why we came. And we entered the park, and it was a nice drive here. It wasn't too bad. It's a great drive. It's a beautiful day. We're ready to go have some fun.
Yeah. My name is Ashley McKenzie. I work here at Zion Mountain Ranch on the east side of Zion National Park. One of the major things I love about this side of the park is that it still seems very natural and protected in comparison to other gateway communities, especially if you look at how busy and congested it can get on the other side of the park. In Springdale, this is kind of seems like a breath of fresh air, relaxation for a lot of people that have been in the park or have traveled through busier parks or have been, you know, fighting for space on the top of Angel's Landing or in the Narrows. They come up to this side of the park and it's authentic, it's raw, it's natural. It's just a moment to really find peace and solitude, and kind of, you know, what you think about when you think of going to a national park is experiencing nature and having this relationship with it. And that idea can sometimes get thrown off balance by how many people are within some of these popular hiking destinations. And so this is a chance on this side of the park to really find that relationship with the Naturalist Park system, I would think.
So hi, I'm Vincent Renaud. I'm originally from France, but I'm living in California now. We arrived in Utah 2 days ago, and we've stayed two nights here at Zion Mountain Ranch. So far, we've done the Narrows and Observation Point today, which is a trail not too far from here. The main reason why we choose the east side of Zion is it looked like it's less touristy, and I think we were right. And also more authentic. So yeah, I think that's the two main reasons.
So my name is Dennis Jacquenou. I'm from Switzerland originally. I've been living in the US for 20 years now. I'm based out of California, Napa. I found Zion Mountain Ranch a couple years ago by accident, driving through Zion. Spent our first night in Springdale on the other side of the park, and the second night here. And then my wife and I fell in love with this place. So we've been coming back on a regular basis, several times a year. And this summer, we're actually spending the summer here on the ranch and helping out the team here to welcome our guests. And what we love about this place is its authenticity. It's different from most of of the access to national parks that we have visited. And there is a true balance between people in nature, and nature is a very important component, I think, that makes this place special. So we're looking forward to come back many, many times, and encourage anybody who wants to discover East Zion and a more authentic, Southern Utah environment to get you into a national park. This is the place to try.
Well, that was awesome getting to listen to the different people who've experienced East Zion. We appreciate all of their comments. We're going to bring Camille Taylor, Office of Tourism here in Kane County, on with us a little bit. She's been with us before. Camille, what can you add to this equation?
I just, to speak to the sound bites that we just heard, that's amazing to always hear from the visitor's perspective, because
right.
Sometimes we get a little bit jaded about all this beautiful scenery around us, and I love actually taking people out on some of my favorite hikes because I get to see them all over again for the first time through their eyes.
So true.
So that was really cool.
So true. So true. I've experienced that all the time. It never gets old. It never gets old for us, right?
It never gets old. And so here's kind of the tough decision making on my part. I'm like, do I take people to my favorites? Because then I'm a better host. I know them. I can kind of shape their experience. Or do I take them to something I haven't seen? And I've realized it doesn't matter, because it is like seeing it for the first time all over again through their eyes.
Well, and if you've positioned yourself as a resident expert, you can kind of bluff your way along to these
right?
new places,
right? We love
right?
bluffing and tell them a few stories that may or may not be true and just make it fun.
There you go. That's right. We get the truth scope on occasion, right?
Yeah, like Dennis Judd said in the little Hollywood episode, that story is mostly true.
I love it. I love it. Steve mentioned that the BLM, Public Lands, has some areas that rival within the park that are right there adjacent to it.
Yeah, I would just say when you're considering your visit to Zion, go beyond the Narrows or Angel's Landing. There's so much more to the park than that that is just as grand, maybe even more connective. There's fewer visitors. And, you can have a Zion-like experience well beyond the park borders and avoid the crowds and have that connective experience that you're really looking for when you're doing nature.
Amen. Amen. I love it. Okay, well, with that, appreciate you coming on, Camille.
Yeah, always fun to pop in.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time. This has been another episode of the Magic of Kanab podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Hal Johnson and produced by Relic.